Yes, we are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. John Wall doesn't need no introduction. It's an insider's look at the NBA and culture surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick of the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing.
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is the Iron Rapport Stereo Podcast. The great Derek Jeter has gotten married. And it's a sad day for men. It's a sad day for New York. It's a great, great, great loss for New York. It's a great loss for the sports world. I congratulate him on his marriage and his union of love. But we're talking about the loss of arguably the greatest coxman of all time. Arguably one of the greatest stickmen of his generation. Now, of course, we have people like George Clooney, of course, DiCaprio, and right up there with those two gentlemen, Derek Jeter. Now, we wish him great luck with his marriage and starting of a new family, but this man held things down in New York for years and years and years. He's got a roster that's long. It's strong. Man, I don't know. He's a four-time Burgess Meredith Lifetime Achievement Award winner as one of the great stickmen. What can I say? I'm calling up a friend of the Iron Rapport Stereo Podcast, someone who knows baseball way, way better than I do, someone who loves the Yankees through and through, someone who covered Jeter through his retirement. Mr. Ryan Rucco also does NBA broadcasting, but he does the Yankees. He loves doing it. I know it's like a dream come true for him to have covered Jeter through his retirement. So we're going to call him and talk to him about the loss of one of the consummate stickmen of all time, Derek Jeter, who's finally hanging up his cleats.
Hello.
Ryan, how are you? This is Michael Rapaport calling from the Iron Rapaport Stereo Podcast. How are you, my friend?
Oh, I am well. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. I'm good. No need to put on the cheery voice. I know it's been a hard weekend. You know, we could just get right to it. This is Ryan Rucco. Feel free to let the emotions, you know, you could be honest and truthful. I know I just was articulating the loss, the career of Derek Jeter, one of the great stick men in the history of not just New York, worldwide. I know you were there to cover Derek Jeter's retirement, and I'm bringing you in because everybody knows I'm not a big baseball fan, and I know that you love the Yankees through and through, you love baseball through and through, and just talk to me about Jeter and what he accomplished during his run in New York.
Well, I mean, Mike, when you talk about a true player who got the most out of his tools.
Yep.
When you talk about a guy who never took a day or a night off.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would say in his prime, he would go from first to home as fast as anyone as I've ever seen.
Wow.
There are very few people we have ever seen make contact as consistently
mm-hmm.
as Derek Jeter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you talk about a bat that gets bronzed and enshrined immediately
mm-hmm.
because this was a guy who, no matter what the stakes are, no matter what the circumstances were, no matter how many people were watching, and look, he had a lot of people watching very often.
Yep.
He would always come through and always bring his best bat. And I think that that's something that, you know, we don't see that often. We may never see again in this city.
Wow. That's well put, Ryan. I know it's been an emotional time for me, and it's been for everybody in New York. What you said made a lot of sense. I mean, the guy never took a day and
nope.
a night off, for that matter, and he did it with class. You'd be hard-pressed to find anyone that has anything bad to say about Derek Jeter. He was respected and yet feared in this area. And just laid down so much foundation, laid so much pipe, the piping and the foundation of everything.
Here's the thing, Mike. Here's the thing that I think people don't realize. He also did it with great confidence. I mean, there was never a challenge that he thought he couldn't meet.
Nope.
There was never a field he stepped on where he thought he wasn't the best player.
Mm-hmm.
And he knew that anyone who was going to get to be on his team was lucky to have him there. And they were going to remember that experience
yep.
of what it was like to be amongst Derek Jeter. And I think he took pride in making sure that anyone who ever came across him left thinking, wow, I'm not sure I'm ever going to see anyone as good as that guy.
Wow, Ryan. I gotta tell you, I'm getting choked up thinking about it. Listen, I sorry, I get just you know, it's the end of an era.
I understand. It's emotional because we don't see the greats like this that often.
No,
when you talk about,
you know what I was thinking,
they don't come
Brian.
That often.
You know what I was thinking? He came along in the pre-internet age, you know, but before the selfies, the Twitters, the Snapchats, he was doing it all before that time, you know, so he was able to. It's like you had to be there in person, and that one-on-one interaction is what the people around Jeter, I think, they're going to really cherish. Does that make sense to you?
Makes total sense, because who knows if he would have been able to go on a run like he did?
No,
and have the career that he had.
He wouldn't.
If he would have been bogged down by the distractions of today. Instead, what you saw was a guy who was always focused, who
yep.
knew, you know, on any given day, he had a certain target and a certain goal,
and boom,
he was going to achieve that.
And he was going to achieve the goal, and he was going to knock that fucking goal down. Excuse my cursing.
Yeah,
it's emotional.
I get it. Look, he was a guy who, I mean, he'd go from first to third before you blink.
Boom.
And when you needed to score, you knew Derek Jeter was going to come through for you. Focused there every night, no distractions,
and he was just going
to bring it.
And you know baseball better than me, but nobody would jump on home plate quite like the way Derek Jeter would jump on home plate. Do you know what I'm saying? When he made it to home plate, he jumped all over home plate. You know what I mean? Like the celebration, the appreciation of being there. But he also did it quietly and classy. Not many people could say they've done that.
You know, you'd see him. You'd see him begin his trot, if you will, or his trip around the bases, and there was an understated nature to the way he gets to first.
Yep.
And, you know, the way he slide into second.
Yep.
Even make his way to third.
Yep.
But when he got home, you'd see that slight release of emotion where he knew, he was going to do it without the same histrionics as someone else.
Yep.
But there was going to be that subtle fist pump.
Yep.
That little smirk. Like, I did it again.
I made it there once again.
Yes, because even though he had been there before and, you know, and he had been there several times.
Oh, he kept coming back.
He didn't stop, and he knew that. There was that smile that said, like, I've been here. I've covered this terrain before, but guess what? It's still a pretty good accomplishment, and I'm going to take a moment just to let you know I'm proud of the work that I've done here.
And you know, it's another thing in this day and age of ceremonies and people celebrating every time they do a dunk and the chest thumping. He always seemed like he had been there before. Like he never acted like it was the first time. It's like every time he got to home plate, every time he took that ass home, it was always done with class, and it was done with dignity, and it was never like, this is the first time I'm doing it. There was no chest thumping. It was quiet.
No.
It was classy, and it was a routine.
It's almost like he's been a champion since high school, Mike.
Wow.
Like he learned how to win at such an early age that he didn't know how to lose for the rest of his life. I mean, and that's almost what's shocking about him achieving this incredible career and now walking away from it is you think about those trips around the bases and how many different times.
Many times.
You know, I mean,
many times.
We saw him smile stepping on home plate.
Yep.
And the thought of not getting to see him out there every single night doing his thing, swinging away. I mean, this guy was a free swinger.
Yep.
You know, I mean, people thought he was patient. You know, hold on a second now. You know, Derek Jeter was a great many things. He wasn't out there being patient. This was a guy who swung away. And the thought of having to deal in a world where, you know, we're not watching Jeter swing away anymore.
Yeah.
Mike, that's a little, that's sort of like you feel the universe shift on its axis, especially in our city.
Shit, man. And you know, again, this is you know baseball better than me. So we're talking about a guy who would swing his bat. And he was swinging for the fences all the time. I mean, you know, you talk about like. I mean, I wouldn't say he's a home run hitter, but in a way, he was sort of a home run hitter.
And I think the thing is, when you talk about him being a home run hitter, Mike, I know what you're saying. And some people who know the game, like I know the game, say, "Hold on a second, you know, Derek Jeter was not necessarily a home run hitter." But here's why he
argue
was.
The point
because
break it down
because there was no challenge that he couldn't touch all the bases.
Yep.
You know, there was no challenge he met where he said, "Today I'm overmatched.
Yep.
I'm going to be lucky to flick a single into right field."
No.
That's not the way he operates.
No.
Yeah, sure. Derek Jeter had a lot of singles and doubles, but that was just because he was choosing his home runs for the spots and the places that he wanted them. But he knew there was no one who could keep him from that if he really wanted. You think about some of his biggest moments against some of the top competition you could ever dream of.
Yes.
He came through with home runs.
Yes.
Not just singles, not just doubles, big time home runs.
Yes.
And that is a part of his game, a part of his run, his legacy that maybe people don't realize that this guy was always coming through, touching every base he needed to whenever he really wanted to. And basically throughout his entire career.
And he did it on the road. He did it at home. He did it all. Like he was, worldwide, really, pretty much.
Yeah, that's a key point. Is, you know, some people, they only know how to bring out their bat at home.
Mm-hmm.
This was a guy who took his stick on the road as well.
Absolutely.
You know, it didn't matter how much noise there were.
No.
It didn't matter. It didn't matter if all of a sudden there was some unfamiliar, you know, faces in the crowd.
No.
He knew when he got in the box,
yep,
he was bringing that golden bat with him, and he was going to hit just as well on the road as he did at home, and he didn't care if he was getting booed or cheered.
Nope.
He was going to perform, and he was going to perform well.
Perform. All right, listen, this has been fantastic, Ryan Rucco. Emotional.
It's tough. Well, and, you know, Mike, I'm just glad. I know sometimes, like, you know, this is the one sport you struggle with, so I'm just glad that, you know, when you have a need, you know, on the diamond,
yes,
I'm always happy to fill you in about the nuances of this game.
I can't tell you how much I appreciate it, Rucco. Your insight, your love of the game, your knowledge of the bat, your knowledge of the stick, and just your understanding of Derek Jeter's career. It's the Iron Rapport Stereo Podcast. I myself need to take a little break. I need to get a little Kleenex. The whole thing was a little emotional. Rucco, thanks for taking the time, and I'll talk to you soon, my guy.
Hey, anytime, man. Anytime to honor one of the greats. Thanks, Michael.
Absolutely, my buddy. All right, you want to have a good time? You got to have a good watch. All right, at the I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast, we only team up with brands that are trying to do something new. We love innovation and companies that are changing the industries they're in. So when Movement Watches introduced themselves and sent over some watches, we were so impressed. I'm wearing one of the watches right now. This company was started by two broke college kids that wanted to wear stylish watches but couldn't afford them. They did some research and found out that big watch brands were passing up huge retail markups to the consumer. Movement began by selling online, where they were able to cut out the middleman and provide unbelievable prices. All right, these watches look like they should be at least $400, $500 bucks. I'm wearing an all-black, beautiful, heavyweight one right now. Movement has maintained their price point, starting at just $95 bucks. Go to mbmtwatches.com. That's mbmtwatches.com/Rappaport, and they'll give you 15% off your entire purchase. mbmtwatches.com/Rappaport. You get 15% off. Trust me, I'm wearing this watch right now. It looks like $1 million bucks, but don't cost that much, right? Want to have a good time? You got to have a good watch. Go to mbmt.com. All right, this is the Iron Rapport Stereo Podcast, coming live and direct. I'm in here with my man, the co-host of the Iron Rapport Stereo Podcast, Mr. Gerald Moody. Last name rhymes with Duty. G-Mo.
Hey.
G-Mo, yeah. Netty.
That's good.
Everything's fantastic. They call me the Gringo Mandingo, the Backdoor Man, the White Arsenio Hall. I go by the name of Michael Rappaport. You are now rocking with the best, where we are making podcasting great again. How you doing, Mr. Moody?
I'm doing good, man. Just enjoying the cool weather that we got here in New York.
Yes.
Everything's good, bro.
Okay. So, yes, Monetti is in New York. I am in Los Angeles. He is black. I am white. He is blind as a bat, and I have sight, to quote the great Joe Piscopo from Saturday Night Live. With him and Eddie Murphy doing Frank Sinatra and Stevie Wonder, one of the classic skits from Saturday Night Live.
Yes.
Let me just get into it. There's a handful of things going on in the world. First of all, minding my business, I saw some more outgoing information about Ciara and Russell Wilson. Ciara, the R&B singer, and Russell Wilson, the Seattle Seahawks star. I mean, this is a badass motherfucker. Put it real brief, they were celibate before their marriage. The whole world knew about that. Now they're married. I know every single thing that's happened in their sex life in its short life so far, the short period of time they've been married. I don't want to know about what you guys are doing. We said this a couple of days ago. I don't care. I don't know what your agenda is, or if you're so celibate and you're so religious and you're so into your celibacy and your religion, and you're doing it for religious reasons. Why do we? Isn't there some sort of religious reason that you wouldn't speak about it?
Yeah.
Well, wouldn't you think that would be sort of blasphemy? To be talking about not fucking, and then you are fucking, and
right,
Right? Doesn't that seem weird to you? Like, you weren't freaking off for all this time because of religious reasons. Great. I have no problem with that. But now you are, and it's all up on the Instagram and all up on the social media. Do you see what I'm saying, Moody?
Yeah, I see. I think it's a little offensive.
I'm offended by it. I'm offended. I'm easily offended by these kinds of things.
Yeah.
I find it offensive. That's a good point. Do you find it offensive?
I do because, I mean, you're two consenting adults. You are now married. Why do you have to brag about having sexual relations, which we expect you to do?
Yeah, nobody...
He must be whack.
But it's not just him. It's the both of them. Like, I don't understand. Like, I don't get it. I don't care. Like, let me tell you something. I'm a big Russell Wilson fan, but fantasy football is coming up, and I would think twice about drafting him.
Me too.
He didn't get any ass for a year.
Word.
And now he's all in. This guy's body and his hormones could be all fucked up. So I'm just letting you know, that's the first tip from me, the Ian Rapoport Stereo Podcast guru. Be careful. Tread lightly when drafting Russell Wilson. Okay, that's all I'm going to say.
And
go ahead.
He's going to have a bad season. Watch.
Yeah, yo, listen, I like Russell Wilson, but I don't know what his problem is, man. I keep it 400 with you, G.
Yeah.
I'll rock with this segment, and then you could jump in. Real Housewives of New Jersey started last night. It's all very, very, very Italian. The opening episode was a little stale at first. Not stale, just you're waiting for something to happen because obviously Teresa Giudice, I'm not saying her name right, is getting out of jail. She's been in jail. I found it very moving, that whole storyline. And now her husband is going to go to jail. They have, I think, three daughters. Three or four? Three daughters. I don't know. They're Italian. They're like rabbits. They breed them. They're going and going and going and going. There's three or four daughters. I don't know. They're all cute kids. They're little kids. But I love the show. I'm looking forward to the season of Real Housewives of New Jersey. And then I'm gonna keep it really real with you, G.
Yeah.
Then I watched the Kardashians. I'll keep you up to date because I know you don't pollute your mind with this. I find a reality TV on a Sunday night a good way to unwind from the weekend. I stand by my opinion that some of the Bravo shows, especially Real Housewives of New York, are the reason why television was invented in the first place. Fantastic television when it's firing on all cylinders. The Kardashians. Now here's where it's at up in the show is Rob Kardashian is now engaged to Chyna Black, and Chyna Black has a baby with Tyga. Tyga is dating Kylie Kardashian. Oh. And so you see that right there, and so Rob Kardashian is smashing what could be his brother-in-law's ex-chick. They have a baby together. So Rob Kardashian could be... And Chyna Black, or is it Black Chyna? I don't fucking know. Black Chyna is pregnant. So Rob Kardashian is going to be the father to Chyna Black's one son and the stepson to her one kid and the stepfather to the other kid. Meanwhile, Kylie, it's some fucking backwoods swamp dysfunctional white trash shit. It's so out there. And the Kardashian girls are judging Chyna Black. Like, you could tell they don't like her. They seem to look down on her. And I'm like, she did the same thing you guys did. She's just a pretty chick who made the come up. How dare you thumb your nose at Blac Chyna.
Oh my God, man! This is what you're watching.
Who are you to thumb your nose at Blac Chyna or Chyna Black? Do you have any idea if her name is Blac Chyna or Chyna Black?
I think it's Blac Chyna.
Yeah, and meanwhile, it's painful to sit there and watch Lamar Odom, you know, struggle. He doesn't look right. He doesn't look healthy. He's eating candy, smoking.
He's on the show.
Oh yeah, he's on the show. And Khloe Kardashian was on there last night ridiculing him about his weight. And I know it's all done in love and she cares about him and, you know, and all that stuff. But she's on TV ridiculing him about his weight because he put on weight. And then today, this is where they get evil. Today I read that Khloe Kardashian kicked Lamar out of the house she was renting because she found a crack pipe. See, but this is where it's fucked up. Because do you think the whole world knows that, or do you think that was leaked? That's leaked. See, the whole thing is they're running this. It's like they're running a campaign. It's like a fucking. It's like a reality thing. And Lamar is like, and they call him Lamb. She sits there in his face, this Queens dude, and calls him Lammy. I feel like every time she calls this 7-foot dude Lammy, I feel like he's just gonna be like, bitch, my name is Lamar. Get it fucking, don't, like, get it right. Stop calling me Lammy.
He's not all there. This guy was on his
deathbed. He was letting her call her Lammy before, like, Lammy. What the fuck? He's not a pet. He's not a fucking pet. Anyway, that's how they got him, man. What happened?
That's how they got him, man. They playing him, man. He's for ratings. They humiliating this dude, and I don't know why he's even on this show. You don't got your whole all your brain power. You're making yourself look ridiculous, and people are forgetting about basketball and just seeing you as a clown up there, yo.
I know, and this was a great basketball player, sixth man of the year, I think, or he's Lamar Odom was the real deal. Anyway. Another thing that happened in the last couple of days, the end of an era, the end of Derek Jeter as a stick man. Derek Jeter is now married. At the time of this recording of this I Am Rapport Stereo podcast, Derek Jeter is married. Very emotional. It's like saying goodbye to a best friend. This guy set the table. He set the bar so high for being a consummate cocksman.
Mm-hmm.
And he handled it with class, dignity, grace, every adjective, adverb, and pronoun you could think of. Do you have anything to say? How did you take the news? I know it's been emotional. How did it make you feel to end the era of Derek Jeter? He's married. I mean, this is a guy, he did it at the highest level. I mean, we talk about great cocksmen. We talk about, of course, Clooney, Warren Beatty, DiCaprio. There's many. The list goes on and on. Jim Brown in his prime, fantastic.
Burgess Meredith.
Of course. Burgess Meredith, the Burgess Meredith Lifetime Achievement Award. Derek Jeter has won this award a handful of times.
Yes.
Some of the great stick men of all time have been acknowledged with this award, bestowed with this award. Go ahead.
My feelings about Derek Jeter.
Yes, please, please. I know it's emotional. I know it's hard to. What do you want to say? To try to get it out.
He did it the right way. He did it his way.
Mm.
And he did it with a lot of beautiful ladies and no baby mamas that we know of.
Nothing. No, he did it great.
He did it great.
And no one had anything bad to say about him.
Right. So this is a lesson to all the guys. If you treat them good, you treat the women good, they're not going to shit on you. So, Derek Jeter, we applaud you and ride off into the sunset.
We tip our cap to you.
Word.
This is the Iron Rapport Stereo Podcast. We'll be right back.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Yo, is this true? Did my man El Chapo escape from prison again? Is that real or not real?
It would have been all over the news.
Nah, this shit was on the news yesterday. Like, yo, I heard El Chapo. They need to let this motherfucker go. Like, yo, either this is some sort of conspiracy, or if he keeps escaping prison, like, yo, at this point, let money do his thing, man. Right?
Yo, if he escaped, let him do him. He got a lot of money. Let him do him.
Yeah, let him do him. The fuck, man. I don't know if that's a rumor or not. So check this out, Moody. You know, I don't respect grown men that don't have their shit together. And part of having your shit together as a grown man is driver's license, you know, pay your taxes, you know, right. Take care of your shit. You know what I mean? Good credit. You know, have you know, have gas money if you have a car. Like, basic shit, right? Basic right. Grown man shit. So I have to admit, I fucked up because I fucked up. My passport expired, and I didn't get it renewed on time, so it expired. Not a big deal. I have no trips out of the country. You never know when the gringo man dingo might take his talents overseas. But right now, I have no trips out of the country. But I'm in the process of getting a new passport. I sent my passport form in, my renewal form. I did it the wrong way. I fucked up. You don't need the little minutia, the details. But I did it wrong. This is not my style. I like to have these kinds of things handled. A motherfucker, you know, who's about his business. We have the worldwide phenomenon. Who knows when we might need to go all over the world?
Yes.
Right? Right or wrong?
You are right, my friend.
Okay, because we're going on a world tour this summer, starting on the 28th, of course, in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. Can't wait to hit the streets of Minnesota to perform on the 28th. We're performing live and direct in Minneapolis, Minnesota, okay, at the Cedar Cultural Center. On July 29th, the Turner Hall Ballroom, a live conversation with NBA great, 13 years in the league, Latrell fucking Sprewell. I can't tell you how excited I am about that.
Oh, man, Sprewell. Yeah,
good in to Milwaukee. Have and then July hometown. 31st, Lincoln Hall in Chicago, Illinois. All right, but at any moment, they might say, you know what, Mandingo, we want you in... Fuck, I'll just throw a place out there. Fucking, you know, Tunisia. Who knows? We have a tremendous crowd in Tunisia. We have a tremendous following in Tunisia. They might say, you know what, Mandingo, we want you and Monetti to make it down to, Ghana. Who knows?
Yes.
Without a passport, I can't go. So what I'm bringing this back to is I now... So since I sent my old passport in to get the renewal, but didn't do that correctly, my old passport is gone. So now I have shit. So and now wow. In order to get a new passport, I have to get a birth certificate. So I'm talking to these passport. They're like, you need your birth certificate. I go, I'm 46 years old. I don't have a fucking birth certificate. I'm not like applying to fucking, you know, kindergarten. Or some shit like that. You know, like when we used to play basketball, you'd have like to show you're 10. You know, like if you're a little tall, they'd like, yo, let me see his birth certificate. Like I'm 46. I don't. What the fuck would I do with a birth certificate? Why? Do you have a birth certificate?
Yeah, man.
You do?
Yeah. I scanned mine, bro.
I don't have a birth certificate. So the point being, Monetti, is that I have to get a birth certificate. Then I take my birth certificate, and then I go renewal for a passport.
That's how it goes, my friend.
I know. This is when you do dumb shit. You pay the price. So you got to wait on lines, call, all kind of shit, be put on hold, all kinds of customer service. And I'm not complaining about that because I fucked up. But I've come to learn that not only is it easier to get a gun than it is to get a parking pass on my street, it's way fucking easier to get a gun, an assault rifle, a shotgun, a 9mm, any kind of gun you want, than it is to get a birth certificate and a passport. I won't be getting my birth certificate for weeks. You get a gun like that.
Right.
That's my point. And it's frightening and disheartening. So I just wanted to let you know. Huh?
That's always going to... They're never going to take the guns out of people's hands, and they're never going to change that.
Well, I get
it's
that.
Always good.
Fine,
it's
you don't want
to be the right
ahead.
To bear arms. That's hallmark of America, man. They're never going to change that.
I get it. But I just think that they can make it a little bit more difficult, because it shouldn't be so hard for me, the Gringo Mandingo. Like, she's like, "What's your name?" I'm like, "This is the Gringo Mandingo. I'm trying to get a new passport." She goes, I don't have that in there. I go, "Yes, look up the Gringo Mandingo." She's like, "Can you give me a birth certificate?" I don't got a birth certificate. Social Security number? I give her my Social Security number. She's like, "Oh, this doesn't say Gringo Mandingo. It says Michael Rapaport." I go, "It's the same fucking thing, lady." So anyway, I was on the phone with this lady for 22 minutes. Her actual name was Shaniqua. Very nice woman, very helpful, very patient, and she put up with all my shit, and I got the ball rolling. But I just want to let you know that I could get a pistol quicker than I could get a birth certificate and now a passport. The great Tim Duncan has retired from the NBA. The big fundamental, as Shaquille O'Neal named him. One of the best players of all time.
Yep.
One of the most underwhelming players of all time, both on the court and off the court. And I say that with no disrespect. His game was so fluid, so below the rim, so basic. At times, you wouldn't even realize how great he was. The San Antonio Spurs, he led them with David Robinson and company to their first title. Blah, 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 blah. Listen, he did it all. He fucking did it all. What?
Great player.
We couldn't get Tim Duncan on the Iron Rapaport Stereo podcast, but this is a first. We did get Bizarro Tim Duncan on the Iron Rapaport Stereo podcast. So here is Bizarro Tim Duncan talking about his retirement, his first appearance on the I Am Rappaport Stereo podcast.
Yo, man, fuck all this NBA shit, you know what I'm saying? I'm moving back to the motherfucking Bahamas, waking motherfucking bake every day. I'm gonna be swimming in the ocean butt-ass naked. Bitch-ass NBA motherfuckers, half these motherfuckers can't even swim. I'll be in the ocean catching fish with my mouth and shit, you know what I'm saying? Cracked asses, no Bruno. I cracked my fucking ass as no Bruno for 20 years in this league. Nobody can do what I've done. I ain't got nothing to prove. I'm out here on the beach in the Bahamas right now, butt ass. All kind of chicks down here. Keep my shit mellow. It's all good. Start my own line of vaporizers and shit. My vaporizers are like vacuums and shit. Call them motherfucking Tim Duncan vaporizers. You know what I'm saying? Motherfucking Tim Duncan vaporizers, then we're gonna come out with towels, all kind of beach products, beach balls, motherfucking Tim Duncan this, motherfucking Tim Duncan that. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to get these shits up at Target, Walmart, and all that shit. Spurs paid me like I wasn't shit, like I wasn't that dude playing the motherfucking league like 26 years and shit. It's all good. Motherfucking Pop is my dude. We smoke on the regular, little French fuck Tony Parker. That motherfucker don't smoke. Anyway, done with this shit. Motherfucking Tim Duncan. We open the motherfucking Tim Duncan shopping malls. All that shit. Anyway, just letting y'all know I'm done with this shit. Done with this basketball shit. Start swimming with the dolphins and all that old fly shit. Hang gliding, all that shit. And I'm done. I'm out. Y'all might never hear from me again. Peace.
Wow, that was,
damn.
Bizarro Tim Duncan. Sad to see him go, huh?
Word. Oh, well, did you hear or did you see Little Kim? I call her the gentrification of Little Kim. Like the miseducation of Lauryn Hill.
Ooh.
Her album should be the gentrification of Lil' Kim.
Ooh.
So check it out. We give Justin Timberlake a hard time because he kind of mimics black culture. So some people was like, cultural appropriation. Look at him. Look at this guy. Now, to be fair, we have to go at the black person who bleaches her skin and has blonde weave. That's the same. That's the same thing. That what if Justin Timberlake started putting blackface on? People would be outraged, right?
Oh.
Basically, this is what Lil' Kim is doing. Reversed.
Yo, Monetti, listen, I can't argue with you. That's a good fucking point, man. Sad,
right?
But true. Sad but true.
Yeah,
the gentrification of Lil' Kim.
Yeah.
And hopefully it's a great album. You could play it along with The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill. Fantastic point. Listen, this is why the 2015 podcast co-host of the year. It goes without saying.
Yes. For sure.
It's the Iron Rapport podcast, and we'll be right back.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Miles, I think you need to cue in the famous lyrics by Cousin Jonah, Brownsville MC. My fuck style is Buck Wilder.
I get nasty like a muck pile, then you out of luck, child. Cause my fuck style is Buck Wild. Fuck style is Buck Wild. Fuck style is Buck Wild. Back off the firm germ. Courtship is short term void at the last drop of sperm. I reckon, so check it, that's life living there. I make your mama strip naked and just give it here. What I said.
We talk about people's fuck style being Buck Wild a lot. Not being Buck Wild, being extra Buck Wild. Is that considered Buck Wild? But I want to bring the attention to a young lady in Pennsylvania, York, Pennsylvania. A girl out there's fuck style was so Buck Wild. She pleaded guilty to disorderly conduct for having sex so loudly. Okay, it shook her neighbor's furniture. Now, I don't know who she was freaking off with, but her fuck style is buck wild. They called the cops. They said this has been going on for a year.
Damn.
She was shaking the furniture. Shit was popping off so crazy. She pleaded guilty. She said, fuck it. My fuck style is buck wild. She was sentenced to 45 to 90 days in jail. She probably needs to be in there to cool off because that's a hot tamale.
What's the charge?
Then she threatened them because she went there and threatened them after because they interrupted her fuck game.
Oh.
So they complained because she was in there screaming and yelling. I don't know what the dude was doing. Where's the guy? I want to interview him because his fuck style is definitely buck wild because this wasn't just happening on her own. The guy should be held accountable too. If you're going to arrest this girl, the young lady, she needs to, the guy needs, and she's a cute girl, but you can't just throw her in jail. I mean, where's the guy? He was this gentleman. Talk about a coxman. Talk about a stick man. Somebody was putting in that good work.
Word. That's sugar dicking.
Oh, yeah. That's what you call sugar dicking. Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. You hit it right on the nose.
Excessive sugar dicking.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. No doubt. Spot on. Spot on analysis. All right, the Iron Rapport podcast is sponsored by Casper Mattresses. Casper Mattresses. Both me and G Monetti have been sleeping on Casper Mattresses for months. Casper is an award-winning sleep startup that launched with outrageously comfortable mattresses sold directly to the consumers. All right, the Casper mattress is singular design, universally comfortable, available in all standard sizes, and backed by a 10-year warranty. Casper Mattresses, free 2 to 5 days shipping anywhere in the United States and in Canada. In New York City, you can get your fucking mattress the same day. $50 off the promo code when you punch in Rappaport, R-A-P-A-P-O-R-T. $50 off your first mattress. Okay, go to Casper Mattresses, Casper.com. Check it out. Next week, me and G Monetti will be together in New York City, roaming the streets. We'll be podcasting from the streets of New York. We'll be podcasting from the Boogie Down Bronx. We'll be podcasting from all over the place in NYC. As we told you earlier, the 28th, the 29th, and the 31st. If you please come fuck with us. We want to see the people, man.
Yes.
Come fuck with us out there. The IamRappaportTour.com. IamRappaportTour.com. You could buy tickets on there. It's cheap. We're gonna be out in the world with the people. The world tour. Soft ass I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast t-shirts are at districtlines.com/IamRappaport. We got Gringo Mandingo necklaces. Them shits are on point. Officialfantasyrings.com/IamRappaport. We're doing all kind of shit. We got rap emojis. I love the emojis.
That's right.
We got the Gringo Mandingo. Bring back that boom bap. Unfolding the loaf. Hard body karate, of course. Rap a pack. And so on and so on and so on. Yo, I want to give a shout out to Mr. Morris. He spawned the idea to do Bizarro Tim Duncan. So, General Morris, special shout out. The entire Rapper Pack, shout out. Continue to spread the word.
Word.
Continue to tell people about the podcast. Continue to drop reviews, new listeners on iTunes. If you want to shit on us, go do it on iTunes. If you want to give us 5 stars because we're 5-star generals, do it on iTunes. But the more the merrier. Monetti, you got any parting words, parting statements for this podcast?
I want to give a shout out to my man Anthony Elkin,
who rapped
on one of my beats,
on
two of my beats. You sound good, Money. Way to go. I like it. I rocked it in my car. Dope.
Yo, I liked how Money got down. He was flowing. Yes. Any other MCs, get on the mic. Anthony, come back on, grab another beat. Moody Beats, you can find them on SoundCloud. It's the I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast. We got the producers of the year, Miles Davis, Jordan Winter. I call him J-Dub. Miles Davis is part Chinese, and his actual name is Miles Davis. Who knew? It's the I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast, and we out.
Yo. Up and close to the ear to do the most. The co-host of the year laced the beat like a new pair of Jordans. The Timberlands early in the morning, sparking off of New York weather. The time change off the crime rate funk. These hip the fucks ain't welcome no more. The jug is up. If I can make it on the iron your horse, I ride a verse so diverse that I might divorce from the likelihood of being trapped in my mama's crib. Over house arrest, dwelling on these California minutes, all kind of stress. I took the strain from the marijuana product, got lost in this maze of haze. Word of my mama, plus I never had the fact check. Ask the man who caught my last wreck. I'm in it for the money and the honeys with they ass bent. Bands out, money on the flow, getting action on the Casper mattress. I gotta go. But bring the beat back, let me freak that. Early in the morning to a slow jam, playing in the back. I got you open like a field goal post in the league. But Tom Brady and LeBron James is a crybaby. Word to Rappaport for stacking the court like Golden State. Now every arena's an open leg. This a broadcast message, we live and every loaf matters. The same goes to every dope rapper. What's more hip-hop than being in the same room with Snoop and Pac? Met for the first time, now let me birth mine. It's Sand Dog, never drive a leash. G Moody, you a fool for these beats. Now listen to the podcast, motherfuckers.